The worldwide leader lives in Cleveland. This is ESPN 850 WKNR Cleveland.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura with you here for hour number two. We're going to go back to the Ohio Business Machines hotline and keep the Browns opponent previews coming as we go to Jim Wyatt, the senior writer for Titans.com, to join us for a sneak peek on the Browns' Week 6 opponent, the Tennessee Titans, a team the Browns have frankly had a little bit of success against recently. Jim, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So an interesting offseason there, just like here, new coach, et cetera. How would you characterize the offseason and the beginning of the Mike Mularkey era there in Tennessee?
Well, it's surprising. A team that's won just five games over the last two seasons. You know, it's surprising how much optimism there is in Nashville and around the team, right now. And I think a lot of that's because, you know, the new general manager and John Robinson and Mike Mularkey, him working together, the two of them working together to kind of rebuild the football team and reshape kind of how they're going to go about doing things. And that included signing DeMarco Murray, or I should say trading for DeMarco Murray. It included drafting Derrick Henry out of Alabama, you know, signing Ben Jones, a free agent out of Houston, Rashard Matthews, free agent receiver out of Miami, and kind of just adding some key pieces along the way. Marcus Mariota has clearly gotten better this offseason. I think a combination of that, along with some other guys getting healthier, coming off of injuries last season, I think that has people in Nashville feeling pretty good about the 2016 season.
Marcus Mariota, I think it probably all starts and ends with him. As we know, it is a quarterback-driven league, but they did go out and get him help, and we'll talk about that in a second. But what are people expecting to see as the biggest leap for Mariota in year two?
Well, I just think, you know, him being more comfortable, man, I will have to say, and I was around here to see, you know, Steve McNair early in his career and see, you know, Vince Young and Jake Locker and Marcus Mariota, you know, was so good as a rookie as far as making good decisions, not making mistakes. He was really good in the red zone, but he wasn't perfect. I mean, he got hit too much. You know, part of that's because the offensive line broke down on him. On too many occasions, including one day in Cleveland when he got sacked seven times and got really beat up. But I think it's important for him to get the ball out faster. He's obviously going to need to improve some things, the line of scrimmage, to make him a little bit quicker there, more decisive at the line of scrimmage. He's going to have to improve his deep ball, an area where he struggled last season. But I think most people will agree that an NFL player makes his most progress from year one to year two. And he's gotten bigger this offseason. He's noticeably stronger and more cut. He's up about, you know, 5 pounds. I think he played at 220 last year, right at 225. But he's cut up a little bit more than he was last year since he's had a whole offseason to train. And I do think having more weapons around him should make him better.
And one of the things that always helps a quarterback is getting better up front. And this team, you talked about Ben Jones that they brought over, and then after a trade and a trade and a trade and a trade and a couple more trades mixed in there, they ended up with Jack Conklin, the tackle from Michigan State, pick number 8 overall, trade with the Browns, incidentally. And what was the rationale? They came up to get him. Did they want to kind of solidify that front for Mariota?
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, you know, had the Titans pegged as being in play for an offensive tackle with the first overall pick. I mean, I know that was a conversation when I was at the combine, and really up until the time they traded with the Rams initially to get out of number one, a lot of people thought they were going to take Laremy Tunsil, and they didn't really have that in mind. At least the front office didn't, in part because they've got confidence in Taylor Lewan, the first-round pick from a couple of years ago out of Michigan. So they were confident in Lewan, and they were looking for a right tackle. And Jack Conklin came in the building during visits, and they just kind of fell in love with his approach and his mindset, and they think he's a perfect right tackle for them. So they like what they've got, left tackle in Lewan, right tackle in Conklin. I mentioned Ben Jones earlier, the center out of Houston, who's really kind of been a tone setter for him this offseason. And I think Chance Womack, you know, heading into the final year of his deal, they feel pretty confident that he's going to settle in and be more consistent. So four of the five offensive line spots are in pretty much accounted for. The only one left is left guard, where they're going to have a number of guys battling, from Quentin Spain to Jeremiah Patasi to Sebastian Titola. You know, throw Brian Swinkey in there, who's played center for this team a little bit, who can kick out and play a little, kick inside and play a little guard as well. That's the battle to watch. But they like the offensive line group, and especially the way they've kind of rebuilt it with some young players and high draft picks.
And this is a team, you talked about the line. You got a feeling when you, every time you hear Mike Mularkey talk, you think that he wants to play football like it's a football of, the monsters of the Midway, just running the old NFC North, the black and blue division, where he wants to just turn around and hand the ball off to DeMarco Murray, who they bring in. And then with pick number 45, they select a big bruiser, Derrick Henry, out of Alabama. I mean, it seems like they want to be committed to running that football powerful.
No doubt. And the way he's described it is exotic smash mouth. He said that's what they called it in Pittsburgh when they had so much success running the football there when he was offensive coordinator. That's what he wants to do here. I mean, yes, they want to run the football, and they've got some workhorses to do it. I think DeMarco Murray ends up being kind of the workhorse back for him, although Derrick Henry is going to get a lot of work. But they've got more than just a running game to work with. And Mariota, they've got a quarterback who can add some excitement. And they added Mitchell Rashard Matthews out of Miami, who I think will end up being a starter for this team. They've got some weapons in Matthews and Kendall Wright and Doriel Green Beckham. I know he caught a touchdown pass in Cleveland last year.
Did.
They expect
Against
him
Joe
to
Hayden.
Be better. Yeah. So they expect him to be better this year. And I haven't even mentioned Delanie Walker, their Pro Bowler on offense. So they've got some weapons surrounding these running backs. And I think they feel like that's going to help them be a lot more productive on offense this year.
When you talk about Doriel Green Beckham, there are reports that he's not even working with the starters. What in the world is that all about?
Well, he wasn't working with the starters, you know, at the end of May and the first part of June, and he should be. I mean, I'm not going to try to sugarcoat it here. Tajae Sharpe, the rookie fifth-round pick out of UMass, was working ahead of guys like Doriel Green Beckham and Justin Hunter and some other veterans. And while that's a great speaks to how quickly Tajae Sharpe has developed, you know, reality is that Doriel Green Beckham, you know, should be in a position to head into year two where he's running with the ones. And I personally think when camp starts, he's got to show up in shape, ready to go. Mike Mularkey is disappointed with the receivers that they weren't in better shape, and he wants these guys to be able to run for days. And he didn't feel like they committed themselves like they should have this off season to be able to do that. So he challenged them on the way out the door and said, you need to be in here and be ready to start camp. You need to be able to run. And if Green Beckham commits himself like he said he's going to, I think he'll take over, that number one spot again. Not the number one spot, at least work with the starters, because he's physical and he's talented and he has a little bit of experience. He should be able to be out a rookie. But if he's not ready to play and not in great shape, then keep an eye on Tajae Sharpe for getting playing time more than people expect. But I think Green Beckham, again, I haven't seen him in 5 weeks, so you just never know what a guy's doing from the time they leave until the time they get back here. But he certainly says he'll be ready, and if he is, I think he'll be in a good position to contend for a starting spot.
Yeah, I think that guy is going to be a stud. I really do. Speaking of studs, Delanie Walker's come over there, been an absolute stalwart for this team. Can he keep up that type of production in the shift to this Mularkey offense?
Well, he can, but I don't know that he's necessarily going to have to, in part because of all those guys I mentioned earlier, the running backs, the help at receiver. Delanie caught 94 passes last year, and he caught those passes when everybody knew the ball was coming to him, and part because they just didn't have consistent play at receiver, and they didn't really have a consistent back who could help the team keep the football just running it consistently. So they kept throwing it to Delanie. He kept catching it. He kept getting hit. He kept breaking tackles and kept scoring, and he had a great year. And I think, you know, he stayed in great shape this offseason, added cycling to his offseason rehab program to kind of take some wear and tear off of his legs, and he looks the part, and he's ready to do what he did last year. I just think they will try to spread it out a little bit more, which could in turn make him even more dangerous, because if he doesn't have so many people focusing on him, he's a heck of a matchup problem, and you match him up in a one-on-one situation, he's catching it and going, and that's easier to do than when you got two, three guys, you know, focusing on you and two or three guys hitting you every time you catch it.
Yeah, no question. On the defensive side of the ball, Jim, this was a team that could get to the quarterback last year. What do they need to do to get to the next level?
Well, I think Dick LeBeau, you know, is going to have more of a say, obviously more than last year in what they do on defense. And I think that the end result there will, you'll see a little bit more pressure. You know, Ray Horton is now in Cleveland and was here as the defensive coordinator last year, and Dick LeBeau was on staff, but Dick LeBeau himself has said that he kind of deferred to Ray, you know, last year and didn't want to have, you know, his voice be the voice that was heard. He didn't want to disrespect Ray and wanted to let him do his thing. And they, while they had similar philosophies, it still wasn't necessarily Dick LeBeau's show on Sunday. So now it's going to be, and I think you'll see more pressure. I think the depth is better on the defensive line with some additions during the draft, and I think they'll be healthier. I mean, Jason McCourty hardly played last year because he was dealing with an injury. He played just four games and ended the year on injured reserve. Derek Morgan, a talented outside linebacker who was a first round pick, you know, many years ago, he got off to a great start last year, suffered a shoulder injury. He ended the year on IR. They get both those guys back, added Rashad Johnson, the safety from Arizona, who should help settle him down in the secondary as well. The depth is better because of free agency in the draft. I think they'll be able to keep guys fresh. So I think you'll see fresher, more talented personnel group to work from, and I think you'll see them more aggressive. And I think what they did on offense and being able to keep the ball for longer periods of time should keep the defense fresher, and they ought to be able to take advantage of that as well. Last year, the defense just gassed so many times because the offense sputtered and they couldn't keep the defense off the field.
You said five wins in the last two seasons. What are your expectations for the Titans in 2016?
Well, you know how this league is. I mean, it's some of these games come down to the last play or two, or a play or two, and it's just a matter of whether you can make those plays, and the Titans haven't been able to make enough of them over the last couple of years. I personally think this team could be anywhere from a, you know, I think they're going to double last year's win total, which isn't saying much, but I think they're going to be anywhere from a 6-7 win team to potentially a 9-10 win team, and just a matter of whether they can win some games early and get some confidence and have some things fall into place. And this team's due for some good fortune, you know, both on the field and maybe from a health standpoint. I definitely think the roster is built where it's going to be a lot more competitive week in and week out. And so I think this team could be a contender in an AFC South that I think most people would agree is kind of up for grabs.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be an interesting division. Jacksonville's kind of that team that everybody likes. Houston, you know, I think the jury's still very much out on Brock Osweiler, but they made the playoffs without a quarterback last year. Tennessee on the rise, and of course then Indy gets Andrew Luck back. I think all of a sudden this could be, all in all, a division that's profile has been lifted from where it was over the last couple of years.
Yeah, and it's kind of the butt of a lot of jokes, you know, last year, wondering whether or not a team was going to finish above 500. And I know with the owners' meetings this offseason, I talked to all the coaches in the AFC South, and they all kind of agree that this could be a division that's, you know, that is talked about as one of the stronger divisions in a few years, just because they have had some drafts that have helped build the teams up. Jacksonville, especially on defense, has got some really good draft picks who, if those guys mature and develop like they want them to, I think Jacksonville's going to be, you know, going to be a serious team to be reckoned with. And, you know, obviously the Colts, you know, invested in Luck long term, expect him to lead them to great things. And if Osweiler pans out in Houston, you know, they're going to be more dangerous. So,
sure.
Obviously, all these teams are going to have some guys develop like they envision. But if that happens, then, you know, this division could won't be talked about as a joke anymore. It could be talked about a lot, people taking them a lot more seriously.
Yeah, could be certainly on the rise because, as you pointed out, a lot of young talent in the division as well. Jim, always great to talk to you, and I can't wait for week six when I get go back to one of my favorite cities in the country, Nashville, and have some good barbecue and get ready for some good football on Sunday for the Browns and the Titans.
Yeah, look forward to it. Yeah, it won't be long now before the season gets going. I know everybody's excited about that.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Jim. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Jim Wyatt, our guest there from thetitans.com. Used to be with the Tennessean. Now he's with the team, titans.com, telling us everything we need to know about this Tennessee Titans team that I think has an opportunity to make a nice little jump here in 2016. When we come back, we will go ahead and hear from Corey Coleman in the CBD replay. The Browns wide receiver gave us 16 good minutes, and I thought it was one of the more interesting and insightful interviews he did. I think it was the second time Matt and I had sat down with him, and I really enjoyed this one. So you'll take a listen to that when we return here on CBD.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Out of curiosity,
what would happen if you got with me? Welcome back to CBD Fontana. I do have one question for you.
Yes.
What is your prediction for the Patriots' record in the four games without Tom Brady?
Let me pull up their schedule. Because, I mean, here's the thing. For them to be that good, I know Tom Brady is really good, but, I mean, the rest of the team have to be, you know, they have to be up to par around him as well. So they have at the Cardinals, home versus the Dolphins, home versus the Texans, and then they're home versus the Bills. I think having three home games is huge. I'll go 3-1.
Okay, that's what I think too.
Yeah,
okay.
I think they lose to the Cardinals, and then they sweep their way through the Dolphins. I think the Texans might be their toughest challenge in that stretch, mm-hmm. but I still think because they're at home, it's a Thursday night game. I'll go 3-1.
That's what I think too. All right. We can't have any more wagers. I'm just gonna have to settle on winning one bet against you.
Yeah. We'll go from there.
All right. Let's hear now from Browns rookie Corey Coleman in this week's edition of the CBD replay.
Here you are in the middle of mini camp, and I know it probably seems like not that long ago you didn't know where you were gonna be drafted. Then you come to the Browns, rookie mini camp, now the mandatory mini camp. What's different about you and how do you feel so far?
I feel really great, starting to get everything down, starting to adapt to all the situations, and it's just, you know, just a blessing being here and just working really hard.
What's kind of the difference for you now at minicamp compared to rookie minicamp?
Rookie minicamp, you're really just thrown in the fire. You don't know what to expect. So now regular minicamp, I knew what to expect. I knew what plays were running, so I kind of had the upper hand. And it feels good. Everything is going great right now.
Talk about Al Saunders. What's it like working with a legend in the coaching profession like Al?
Man, he's a great dude. Like I said before, he's really smart. So every time we all try to pick his brain because he's been around a lot of great receivers and he's making us a lot better.
Has he caught you yet?
I'm not going to say all that.
I know he tries to chase people down on every play.
He's fast, though.
He's surprisingly fast. He said something last week that stood out to me with you. You caught a ball on the sideline. You went out of bounds. He said, Corey, in 120 years, that's never missed a tackle. And then the next time you got the ball, you stayed in bounds, and he chased you down. You're making yourself better. You're making your teammates better. Is it cool to have somebody that is that hands-on with you as you make the transition from college to the NFL?
It really is. It's great. He's always pushing us to be, you know, our very best. Average is not good enough, so we're working for greatness in the receiver core. So every time we make a mistake, he's going to tell us about it. He's going to help us get better. He's going to teach us. And
there he is right there, as he is right there,
there go,
making catches. The great Al Saunders. That's one of the cool things about doing here. He's going to be great, he said, and he does not throw around praise lightly. He's worked with some of the very best receivers in the National Football League. Corey, you seems like when you go out there to practice, you're making plays every single day. How much confidence does that give you? Because, you know, one of the things people say, well, Baylor's offense and then an NFL offense. But you seem to be going out there and playing football. That's what you do at the end of the day.
Right, man. So I love this game. I take this game to heart. So I work at my craft. I'm trying to be the very best I can be. So they brought me in here to make plays. So, you know, I don't want to let no one down, or I don't want to let myself down. So I pride myself in working hard and, you know, to live up really to why they brought me here.
What are some of the routes or maybe route concepts that are new to you and ones that you really like? Maybe something you didn't run at Baylor, but now it's integrated in the offense here that you think, man, I wish I was running this at Baylor because I'm going to be pretty good at this.
Really, I like the – we call them – I'm not going to tell you what we call them, but okay. Like the comebacks. We didn't run the comebacks at Baylor. I ran them in high school, but it's been a while. So getting back used to those comeback, the deep ones, I like those a lot. Turning outside, you can really, you know, make great plays on that because you're selling it like you're going straight down the field, like you're running a goal ball, and then you break it off and turn outside. I really like that route a lot.
You had one yesterday working right against another Big 12 product, Justin Gilbert, where you sold him on the deep ball and were able to turn him around and come back for that comebacker for about a 20-yard play. So that's one that you like because your speed is one of your biggest assets, and you're able to use that to get some separation.
Right, definitely.
Yeah, that's good. So as you go through this, talk about what is Coach Jackson like? You know, I'm sure in college you have a very certain style and program. What's the Hugh Jackson program like in your eyes?
He's kind of like, you know, Coach Brown, so I had at Baylor. You know, the only thing he expects is greatness. You know, like I said, average is not good enough for him. He's a great leader. He's hands on with his, you know, players. He's not like some big time coach who you can't talk to, which I really like that.
Yeah.
It's something I don't know. I can go to him and ask him. He's going to explain. He's going to demonstrate, show us. And, he's just a great dude. And I like him a lot.
Do you like the fact that when you catch a ball on the 20-yard line, you have to run 80 yards to score after every play? I mean, and you guys seem to be having fun with it. The defense comes down. Guys are blocking downfield for it. It seems to be kind of a fun thing.
Right. We're all getting in the groove. You know, we're trying to be the best our team can be. And by us doing it and taking the extra step, it's just going to make us better. And, you know, with me, it helps conditioning with everyone.
Sure. You heard yesterday, I don't know if you've heard, but in his post-practice press conference, he was talking about training camp, said there are going to be a lot of padded practice sessions and we're going to get after it because the only way to get better playing football is to play football, and that's played with pads on. Do you like getting the pads on and showing your physicality? Because when you watch your college tape, you can be a little bit nasty. I'm going to say it. You can be a little bit nasty out there, Corey.
Right, I do. I'm excited to get the pads on. You know, like you said, we came here to play football, so let's play.
Who's somebody that you modeled your game after?
I really like Antonio Brown and Steve Smith. Those guys are unbelievable football players, and, you know, I modeled my game after those two.
Yeah, Steve Smith, you can see some of that, especially when you jump and go over people, as you did many times at Baylor for those touchdowns. Do you like to talk a little smack out on the field?
I do. I like to have fun. You know, a lot of people don't get blessed to play this game very long, so you might as well have fun while you're doing it.
Absolutely. What's the most exciting thing for you on the football field? Is it scoring a touchdown, or does it have to be, you know, just catching a bomb or physically dominating somebody? What gets you fired up on the field?
Really winning. I like to win.
Good.
It doesn't matter in any situation. It can be me in this corner, we're going against each other, and the ball is thrown, and I won that rep. So if I can win every rep, you know, it's going to make me a lot better, and it's going to make this team a lot better. So if we can win every down, every rep, that's a big, big key and big factor.
So we had Robert Griffin III in here yesterday, and I noticed in the cafe he was sitting with you, and I think it was Darius Jennings and Hollywood Higgins. And I asked him, you know, is it important for you to sit and kind of build rapport with your wide receivers at lunch? And he's like, yeah, I like to do that, and it just kind of happened. But what was interesting is when he was sitting with you, and I watched you watching the TV, they were talking about you on NFL Network. What was that like? What was going through your mind when you were watching that?
I try not to pay too much attention. I was watching it, though. It's just, you know, it's a lot of projections.
Sure.
What they think I'm going to do and how I'm going to do it. The only person who knows is the man upstairs. And, you know, it kind of gives me motivation when they say that I'm going to do this because I'm always trying to go beyond and above that.
Yeah, and it was Evan Robertson. Same day, I said, "What was his reaction?" He said he didn't have one, and I thought that was a very good thing. And you know, coming from Baylor and where you were so successful, there sure there's going to be a lot of talk about you, but I think it's good that you know you're able to kind of block that out and focus on the task at hand.
Yeah, definitely. What I did at Baylor, it doesn't matter anymore. I'm on to you know a new chapter in my life, and you know I'm trying to exceed and do better than that.
What do you think of Cleveland so far?
I like it a lot. The city's showing me a lot of love, man. Unbelievable fans. Fan base here is, you know, it's amazing. And I'm happy to be a part of this organization. And so far, it's going great for me.
Yeah. So number 19 you end up choosing. I know you talked with Bernie Kosar, and he shared with us that he told you he just wants to see number 19 in the end zone. What was it like kind of talking to Bernie? And did you know, and it's fair if you didn't. I mean, I played a little time with the Cowboys, but did you know Bernie at all before kind of 19 became the number you chose?
Right. Yes, sir. I did know Bernie. He's did unbelievable here, and I did talk to him to get number 19, and like you said, get an end zone, make him proud. And like I said, I take that to pride because I know how special that number is.
Is it cool for you young guys to see kind of the alumni coming around as they have and also to know that Jim Brown, arguably the greatest football player of all time, has a role with this team?
Right, it is. I talked to Jim Brown, and I'm so happy and honored I can be around a guy that great and what he has done for this organization. And, you know, he's a wise man.
Yeah, he's been around for a while. He's seen a lot. He's experienced a lot in many, many different respects. Who's somebody that you've bonded with on this team? You got like somebody that's like kind of your crew now or somebody that you've kind of really become close with?
Really, you know, we're in the hotel right now. Really just the receivers. Me, Rashard Higgins, Ricardo Lewis, we're always doing stuff together. If you see one of us, we're all going to be together. We pretty much do everything together. Last night we went to go eat at a Mexican restaurant. And
nice.
You know, that's what we're always together.
That's cool. Holly, we've had Hollywood in studio. We haven't had Ricardo yet, and Hollywood certainly seems to be a very fun guy to be around, a very lively personality.
Yeah, Rashard, he's funny. We're all together. We're all laughing. We're all just rolling and having a great time. You know, we know what we have to do, and we're just working hard each and every day, and we're motivating each other, too.
When you come in with a class this big, is it kind of like when you go in with your college recruiting class where you guys feel like you can come in and kind of change the program or enhance the program to kind of have that bond with 14 rookies?
Right. That's our mindset. You know, they all brought us in for a reason. Like with the receivers, we're all different type of receivers, but, you know, we can all help in certain different ways. So, you know, our job, the reason why they brought all 14 of us in is to make this team better and give it a spark. And only way we can do that is by working hard and doing what the coaches ask us.
And you mentioned that you hang with Hollywood and, of course, Ricardo Lewis. That's the one guy that I don't think the fans yet have a great feel for. You know, he was the second receiver drafted after you in this class of four receivers. Physically 6'2", fast, big. What's he like as a guy off the field and on the field?
Off the field, like I said, we're all kind of goofy. We're always joking around and just having fun. And on the field, you know, he's determined. If you watch Ricardo in practice, he always sits back. He wants to be really good. So he sits back and then he watches and he tries to do everything that, you know, the older guys are doing, who's doing stuff right. He watches film when we're at home. He's trying to get better. And, you know, that shows you a lot about a person.
Talk about watching film. Is that something you did a lot of at Baylor?
I didn't do a lot of it at Baylor, but now I'm catching on. I'm seeing the proper way, the vets, and I've been watching film, just doing stuff that I usually haven't, you know, done like a lot of, but it's making me a lot better.
Has there been a time where you've been in practice where something that you saw on film happened and it allowed you to make a play that maybe if you hadn't known that and studied that and been ready for it that you wouldn't have been able to?
Yes, definitely. When I first got in rookie mini camp, I was running my routes. I was cutting them short just because, you know, I was new to them, but I started watching film where I need to be, and it helped me out so much.
Is it kind of wild, like, going from college where you can dominate, and you guys kind of, I wouldn't say a loose system, but it was somewhat loose in that spread system at Baylor, to something where they're talking to you about exactly how they want you to step, how they want you to stand, how they want your shoulders to be, how they want your hips to be when you make your cuts. Like, just the detail for the technique, is that something that you expected, and is that how do you kind of like refining your skills that way?
It's something I kind of expected, but as you can see, I got the hang of it really quick.
Yeah.
Just, you know, worked at it. Nothing's going to come easy. First, you know, when we first got here, rookie minicamp, a lot of us was doing stuff that it would be okay in college, but it's not okay in the NFL. But we, you know, coach showed us how to do it, showed us film of how to do it, and we caught on just like that.
Has Andrew Hawkins, who really is the elder statesman, that wide receiver room, has he been a guy that you've kind of talked to a lot and started to get some advice from?
Right. I always talk to Hawk. That's my dude. He's a good guy, and he's one of the vets, all the vets, really. You know, they help us. If we have any questions, we can go to them. And, you know, to have a group of guys like that in one room where it's just like only thing we care about is winning, and you got a special group of guys, and there's no selfishness in there at all.
Do you get pointers from the corners you're going against? Have they been, what's it like going against a guy like Tremon Williams, who's been in the league and gone against the very best receivers in the National Football League for a long, long time? Is he somebody you've locked up with, and what's that been like?
Right. You know, when I first got there and we first started OTAs, the first person I called out, I want to go against, you know, best corner. Joe's not out there, so I want to go against, you know, a starter. Went against him. You know, we got great work in, and he respected me for that because, you know, rookie coming in usually don't do that. But I didn't want to, like, no disrespect. I just want to get better, and I know
yeah.
only way he's going to make me better by going against the best. And every time I line up against him, I'm trying to win, and he's trying to win too. So we're always pushing each other and, you know, making each other better.
Has he given you any advice from the other side, or he does not want to share those secrets with
you just yet?
He
does. If anything I need, I ask him. Well, to make me better, he's going to tell me.
That's great.
He knows a lot.
He does know a lot.
he knows a lot.
That's when you battle against Calvin Johnson for a very long time and some of the other guys. You know, Percy Harvin was there, who was a guy that not maybe as big, but unbelievable speed, and going against Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson in practice every day. He's seen some pretty darn good wide receivers in his time. And last year here, Antonio Brown, A.J. Green, especially with Joe out, he was playing number one role for us. Steve Smith, your guy. So they had some good battles there. It's nice to kind of have those. It kind of is an interesting mix on this team because it is very young, but there are definitely some elder statesmen, especially on the defense with a guy like Paul Kruger, who's won a Super Bowl, a guy like Tremon, who's won a Super Bowl. And that must be nice for you young guys to know that there are guys who have been around, and especially on your side of the ball, you know, you got Joe Thomas, Hall of Famer for sure, and then Josh McCown. What's your relationship been like with Josh McCown, who seems to be one of the best guys to ever put on a Browns uniform?
Yeah, Josh is a great guy. I can go to him, or he'll come to me and, you know, tell me little things. Like, one day I had a bad practice. I thought I had a bad practice, and he just told me, you know, keep your head up, and he always gives me advice, and I can go to him for anything. He's going to tell me exactly. He's real patient. He's like a coach out there, and he knows everything too.
Yeah. What's your bond been like with Robert Griffin III? Coming from Baylor, and I know you guys didn't play together at Baylor, but I know you have that connection, and he's been a guy who came in with big expectations, number two overall pick. What's kind of that relationship been like?
It's great because we come from the same program, Baylor, and, you know, we know what we got to do. We expect a lot out of each other. We hold each other accountable. And that's the great thing about us. When I was at high school, I was coming up to Baylor on recruiting trips and stuff like that, and I see RG3. You know, he's real smart. He's a great athlete, great quarterback, and, you know, he's so relaxed and comfortable back there. He knows what he has, and it's a great feeling working with him.
It certainly must be a lot of fun, too, and I've seen you guys hook up for a couple of those bombs. Throws a very nice deep ball, which is good for you.
Right. You know, it brings back old Baylor day.
Just run out there and go get it, Corey. Well, listen, we certainly appreciate the time. Last question is, what do you hope to accomplish here with your final two mini camp practice before you go off in the summer? And I know you said yesterday, so we won't harp on it. Go do some more work, which is, let me tell you something, Browns fans are very happy to hear that the top pick wants to work in his time off. But what do you hope to accomplish here in these final 2 days of mini camp?
Really just getting better each and every day. I think I'm taking a step each and every day, and just, you know, getting better. That's what I want to focus on. One day at a time, each day, can I be better than the day I was before?
What do you think something that you have improved on since you first stepped foot on the field?
My whole game. My whole game, I think so. I'm getting comfortable. I'm starting to run my routes super fast, know exactly where to be at the same time. At first, I was kind of iffy, not running super fast like I know I could because I'm thinking too much. But now, I'm starting to get the hang of it.
Welcome back to CBD. That's Corey Coleman. I have big expectations. I think 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns for the Browns rookie, who will be the number one receiver for this team in 2016. Now, obviously, we'd like to see him have competition for that role should Josh Gordon come back, but I'm very impressed with his offseason. I know he spent some time with the quarterbacks on his own time to get even better, and I can't wait to see what happens when he comes back here and training camp begins in just under 2 weeks. All right, when we come back, we'll wrap it up. Final thoughts, last chance for you to chime in. We'll answer some of your Twitter questions, or you can call us 216-578-0850 on CBD.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Wrapping it up here on this Monday. Time flies when you're having fun. Got some good stuff on the Patriots and on the Titans as well today. And, of course, the interview there with Corey Coleman was one of my favorite for the offseason. Can't wait to get these guys back here in less than 2 weeks. By the way, come down and meet Danny Shelton at Wayside Furniture. The Danny Shelton Return of 55 signing will be held on July 26th. And why is this such a cool one? If you bought a Danny Shelton 71 jersey, listen up. The signing is the chance for those loyal fans who bought Danny Shelton's rookie jersey to get rewarded. Bring your old number 71 jersey and Danny will sign it and take a picture with you. You'll also be entered to win a free authentic Lava Lava. The event will take place at Wayside Furniture at 1367 Canton Road in Akron, Ohio, 44312. Again, that's July the 26th. The Return of 55 signing with Danny Shelton at Wayside Furniture at 1367 Canton Road, Akron, Ohio, 44312. By the way, some non-Browns news out there is that Anderson Varejao saying that he will not accept a ring if the Cavaliers offer him one. So that's something that's interesting there. And then some other news coming from the Browns with a heavy heart. Former Browns offensive lineman Roger Shanwine passed away Friday after a battle with pancreatic cancer. He was only 39 years old. He played four seasons for the Browns from 1999 to 2002, starting all 16 games at right tackle in 2001. He is survived by his wife Yolanda and the Browns family and extends their prayers and thoughts to him and his family. Their sad day for the Browns family. You know, that just gets posted at ClevelandBrowns.com. For more information on that, feel free to go see the article at ClevelandBrowns.com. The Browns tweeted it out as well. Matt, we're wrapping it up here on today's show. Do you got any more tweets you want to get to or want to just go ahead and wrap it up?
Yeah, we got a few tweets coming in. Again, you can keep tweeting the show at Browns_daily. This one comes from Ryan. Who do you think starts the game one for the Browns, RG3 or McCown?
RG3. Barring injury, I think it will be RG3. I think that, you know, a lot of people, I know one of the questions is, you know, what the reports that Josh McCown has looked better. Josh McCown's been in the league a long time, and he's a veteran, and he knows about getting the ball out quick. Did some of that last year with John DeFilippo. So I think in terms of the mental part of the game, he has looked better. And he's a very good thrower of the football. I mean, he holds many of the Browns' records for passing prolificness and proficiency over that he established last season. So I think he has looked good. But say he's looked the best, I don't think is necessarily fair or accurate. I think RG3 has made a lot of good plays. And I would say anybody who wants to watch the tape of his final minicamp practice or that final stretch of the mandatory minicamp were the three best days of RG3's time here with the Browns, which I thought is very encouraging, especially the last day being the best. So he's a guy that needs to still pick up the mental aspects of what he's doing in this offense. Physically, though, looks absolutely to be incredibly talented. Still has the ability to throw the football all over the yard. He can sling it. He's got a cannon. Still looks very athletic. Is in excellent shape. And it'll come down to me for RG3 ceiling will be determined by his ability to quickly process information and get the ball out on time in under 2.5 seconds. If he can do that with a reasonable level of consistency, RG3 is going to be very successful in this offense.
This one's from Justin. He asked, who's going to pick up some of the slack now that Desmond Bryant will be out for most of the year?
I think that is the biggest question mark facing this team going into the 2016 training camp now. Dez Bryant was the 5 technique. He was your starter. He led the team in sacks. Seguro was 6. He was going to be counted on to be the wrecker on that defensive line, and I think they were in many ways building their defensive front around him. John Hughes and Xavier Cooper at the three technique, and then, of course, Danny Shelton in the middle. So the question becomes, what do you do there? Do you move Xavier Cooper over in only his second year? Because Carl Nassib missed a lot of time with injury this offseason. Obviously, they think highly of him. He led the nation in sacks, but I think that they were hoping to have a little bit of a succession plan with him, with Dez this year, Nassib working in sub-packages and taking over next year. So he could be thrown in the fire. I think probably the more likely answer is a veteran who gets cut somewhere this offseason finds his way to the Browns. But that's going to be a very, very big camp storyline, who works there at the five technique. Want to thank everybody for being with us. Eric Scalavino from Patriots.com, Jim Wyatt from Titans.com, and, of course, Matt Fontana on the board today. I'll be back tomorrow with the winners of the Cleveland Browns Radiothon contest, the co-host CBD, Scotty Buckeye, Todd It. They'll be with us tomorrow. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys, and thanks for listening to another edition of Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.